Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, intuitive and workshop leader, Mark Mezzadorian.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Kimberly Stewart. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I have been looking forward to this conversation with our guest, Mark Mezzadorian. Actually, for that matter, been looking forward to the music that Kimberly Stewart will be sharing with us tonight and her story as well. And it's interesting, we are going to be talking about balancing the masculine and the feminine in you, in each of us male and each of us female. And so I was focusing on that this week and a little bit the last week. And I was also remembering or knowing that our guest has come to a lot of his work, if not most of it, through angel work. And so I was thinking about angel work, and I happened to have been with a friend of mine's dog. He left the dog with me for a little bit. And so the dog, or my friend was away, and I was thinking about angels and thinking about Mark. And then however much time later passed, my friend called me on the phone and said, "I'll be there shortly." And so I hung up the phone and I said to the dog, "Daddy's coming back to get you." And the dog, I think, knew what daddy meant, but I think the dog didn't know whether to believe me or not, or because the dog just kind of looked at me and I thought, "You don't know whether to believe me or not, do you?" And I thought, "Oh, how interesting." See, I can't explain to the dog, and the dog doesn't understand that I can pick up a phone and talk to daddy. And daddy tells me things, and then I tell the dog things. But the dog's like, "Where are you getting this information?" And I'm saying, "Well, daddy just called me." So the dog doesn't know. The dog sees me putting things to my ear, you know, all the time or whatever. You know, it doesn't know what the phone is per se. And I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. Now, not everybody that I've talked to that says they can talk to this or that, or they could channel this or that. Do I think, in fact, in some cases, I know they're not connecting with anybody. But in some cases, I've thought, there's no way this person knows that. They must be connecting to something. And so technically then, maybe I can't see the phone that they're connected with. So, you know, your guide is saying this, or your angel is saying this, or your ancestor is saying this. And so this, whoever that is, might have a phone that I can't see, just like I have a phone that the dog doesn't understand. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting, and it helped me understand more of what may be going on and helped me to believe more and be more open. So I'm looking forward to not only that piece of the conversation, but also balancing the masculine and the feminine in you and in me and in all of us. So we'll be having that conversation with Mark Mezzadorian when we come back, and of course, Kimberly Stewart musically later on in the show, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark Legere.
And now all of this discussion about trying to use our phones less and getting kids off the phones, and now we have to worry about our dogs and phones.
Yeah, those dogs and the phone. Actually, there are ways for dogs to be able to push a button.
Yes.
So pretty soon that part of the monologue will be outdated.
Well, and this goes back to, there was a movie, what was it, Phone Home? There's a bigger conversation.
Yeah.
Here,
probably. Was it E.T. maybe?
E.T., that was it, yeah.
And you know, I'm not good with movie references, but anyway, whole other conversation, whole other beings.
Exactly.
But valid nonetheless. We could have a show on that at some point. But today we're going to be talking about balancing the masculine and feminine in you, and what exactly does that mean, and actually defining more as we move forward as a culture what masculine is and what feminine is. We're going to be doing that with our guest, who is an intuitive and a workshop leader, and he is Mark Mezidurian. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. You know, as soon as I mentioned dog, you shook your head as if dogs talk to the angels. Maybe not the phones, but, you know, I don't know. What was
my response? Yeah, if we think of what's actually happening, because the idea of angels is woo-woo, but we all have spiritual experiences. We all have moments where, especially in dream time, where more information comes to us. And if we think of what is happening, like from a dog's point of view, they respond to energy. So yes, they're going to respond to the fact that you were communicating with the dog's dad, you know, and you're communicating information. Animals, if we want to get into animal communication, they communicate through pictures in their mind and such, but they're going to respond to the vibration.
So maybe the dog was saying, yeah, I know.
Yeah, like, dad's gonna dude, got it. Yeah, yeah, I know what's going to happen here. But the anticipation.
The analogy still works, though.
The analogy absolutely 100% works. But it gets into a space, which I think is interesting, especially approaching angels, which is, it sounds woo-woo, but it's practical. So something that I've been talking about is, if we did not have a reference point for angels or intuition or God, what would you do with this resource that loves you unconditionally and is here to help you out? Would you deny it or would you accept it? And that's angels, you know? And so just a space of looking at it pragmatically, like, how does this actually work? What actually happens and such?
What actually happens and such?
What actually happens is a space where, well, I got into this through, most people get into spirituality through suffering or insight. And mine was suffering. In 1988, I had an anxiety attack, which led me quickly to the space of recognizing what I was doing wasn't working. And out of that, a short time later, my sister introduced me to these angel books and such. I started to do training on that, and it made perfect sense to me. And being a cynical person and a pragmatic person, my interest was, well, what do angels actually do?
Oh, so you were going to put this to the test.
Yes.
I like it. Yeah. Okay.
And so coming out of the space of what I was doing wasn't working, I started to pray. And I started to get information from angels through numbers. I would wake up at 4:44 every single morning on my digital clock and see license plate, 444, which means the angels are with you. It's kind of like a wave hello. And so I would put forward a question to them and get answers through numbers and such. So this conversation is happening. I'd recognize when I ask something, there'd be a response.
Okay.
And so that then shifted into more of a conversation. We have four different ways that we all receive intuition, which is seeing, hearing, knowing, and feeling. We all have all four. One or two tends to be more dominant than another, like being left or right-handed. And so I discovered rapidly that knowing was my main way of getting information, which is like a download in your heart, like you know this to be true.
You just know.
You just know. Okay. And the same way in the past, before we had cell phones, when the phone would ring and you knew who it was,
yes,
it's exactly that.
What do you mean in the past when we had cell phones?
Before we had cell phones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, even with cell phones, those are
going out. I know.
You're saying you can see the name on it. But yeah, if it's in the other room, that can happen.
Yeah, it can still happen. Yeah, but more, my memory is before it all was.
When the phone was on the wall? Or,
when it was on the wall.
Or are you going
there was
back
no ID.
To when you used to
rotary.
Have to, okay.
Yeah, rotary. So it's a space of, so as I grew into being an intuitive and doing readings for people, my question is how do angels actually talk? What do they say? And discovered rapidly the difference between people and angels is the angels see us through the eyes of unconditional love, that they love every single part of us. They don't judge. And as such, their guidance is expansive, encouraging, and elegant.
Wow.
It's helpful, and they give us one thing at a time. And so that's pragmatic in a way.
Okay, so if you're talking to somebody and they say, you know, your angel's in there or your guide is in there or whatever, and they're saying, you know, you're wrong and blah, 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 then they're not talking to angels?
Perhaps not. So the difference there is, how do we know the difference between ego and angels? And ego would be, so we all, the role of the ego is to keep us alive. And we're alive in this room, so ego has done.
We've got it.
Done well.
Yeah, okay.
Done well. So, but that would mean that no matter what is happening, the ego is going to maintain your status quo. So if your life sucks, it's still going to maintain the status quo. So it's not about advancement or change. Mm-hmm. So the guidance, the voice of the ego is going to be conditional. Could, would, should, need to, have to. The idea that you're going to run out of something, run out of time, run out of money, run out of opportunity. So there's a limitation on that. And the basic gist is just that limitation.
So an angel would say, like,
Yeah, the opposite would be encouragement, expansive. Let's do this. Let's give you one thing to do, you know, and make it simple and encouraging, and also giving you this flush of either excitement or reassurance. So it's a tactile experience that happens.
Like you yourself, you actually feel like you feel good after you've had.
You'll feel good.
Okay.
You'll feel supported and a bigness to it, having a sense of scope. So that's the fundamental difference between those two things.
And so you're saying that the angels have given you information about where we're going as a society.
Sure.
And some of that is that you're saying that the angels are saying that we need to balance the masculine and the feminine in us.
Absolutely.
And why is that? Why would that be important?
Why would that be true? So if we think of the clearest thing about this period of time is that we're being asked to use all of ourselves, not segments of ourselves. We're recognizing the limitation of using segments of ourselves, which gets into fear. The primary thing, the most important thing that's happening right now on the planet is most people are afraid. Mm-hmm. And that's getting to a lack of safety. Mm-hmm. And so peace has gotten taken off the table in that conversation. So how do you know when you're safe?
You feel peace?
You perhaps feel peace, but so the lack of safety has created this isolation, this impulse to isolate, an impulse to retract, to move back. And so in that space, with peace being gone, that it just gets small, the world gets smaller, smaller, and smaller. So with using all of ourselves, that would be using every single aspect of ourselves, including our intuition and including divine masculine and divine feminine selves. And what that would then lead to is a sense of integration of the whole. So we could recognize that every single person on the planet wants peace and love. Our methods of attaining that are vastly different. So go ahead. Yeah. Basically, so then where the divine masculine, divine feminine would come in is to recognize what's possible. So we're witnessing right now the old masculine paradigm, which is power over, which is that guy knows more than you do, so shut up. So we're witnessing—
So that person has power over you.
That person's power over. Yeah. So what the new— So the question I ask groups is, what is the new divine masculine?
What is the new divine masculine?
There is absolute silence when I ask groups that, which is a problem. So what are men supposed to be right now? Archangel Michael has defined, this came through his guidance, of the new masculine energy is confidence that is encouraging and inclusive. Basically, it's a hell, I could hold a space that includes other people and encourages other people, which is vastly different than, no, I got it, you know, not you. You stay over there. So if we think of that as just simply power with as opposed to power over. And that's a fundamental shift. So this coupled with, we're much more familiar with what divine feminine energy is, which is a nurturing energy that can create and hold a space. It's also a very creative energy.
I maybe we'll talk about this when we come back in a little bit, but
sure.
It seems that a lot of women act in some of the ways that they've learned from maybe TV or whatever to act more like men. And so it's not that a lot of women also carry that divine feminine that you're talking about that I've known. I mean, I know a lot of women that do. But before we get into that, actually, just real quickly, you talk about this time right now. So a lot of people would say, it feels like the whole world is falling apart. And the angels would say?
That everything, all the ugliness is being revealed so we could fix it. And so if we think of nothing is missing at this time, that we have ourselves and we have our will and we have resources like divine guidance and such. And so if we think of what's happening now as circumstances, and we're not our circumstances. So this fundamental question right now is, what do you want to have happen? Not what that guy wants or what seems to be happening in the news and such, but what do you want to have happen?
Interesting.
Yeah.
So kind of like spring cleaning, you throw everything out of the closet and it looks like a mess, but what you're really doing is you're cleaning the closet and then you're going to put everything back in order.
Yes, but mainly it's the use of our free will. So if we ask the question, so when we ask people that question, what's the best thing can happen? What world do you want to live in?
Mm.
You would answer with a space of peace and inclusion, rather like those bastards need to die.
And this is the time to be asking that question.
A lot of the stuff's not going back in the closet.
And a lot of stuff.
That's well said, Mark. Yeah.
Nice.
Because you can't put hate back in the closet once it's exposed.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, when we come back, obviously, we've got lots we're going to talk about with Mark Mazadourian. And then later on, Kimberly Stewart's going to be joining us in the studio with some beautiful children's music, all on the Life Changes show when we come back after this.
Hey, guys. So I'm here to tell you about a little thing called the DNA Institute. You probably haven't heard of it yet, but I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was about 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and unfortunately, I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute made me lose 30 pounds. This is not a lie. That completely happened. It doesn't matter what exactly your situation is or how much you have to lose. The Institute will get you to your goal weight. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a real doctor-prescribed custom medical treatment. It rebalances your hormones, heals your metabolic and digestive system, and makes your higher functioning brain so loud that it becomes impossible to overeat when you're full. Whew, it's a mouthful, but yours won't be. So many of my friends and family turned to the DNA Institute after they saw my success, and all of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I promise you, this is different than anything you've ever tried before. They've been in Beverly Hills since 1982. You can even give them a visit, drop by, or just head to their website, DNA.com, that's DIENNET.com, to learn more and get your customized formula made today.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and with Mark Mazadourian, our guest, who is an intuitive and a workshop leader. And he is leading us in a conversation about masculine and feminine and balancing. So before we get into more of the balancing side, I was mentioning about how some women seem to carry more of the masculine.
Yeah.
It's learned or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. The playwright Carol
or
Churchill.
It's necessary.
Yeah. Has a play about that exact dynamic called Top Girls, which basically women act like men and such. And if we could understand, there's necessity to that in our current time.
Right.
And so where we could see where, overt feminine energy is not always welcome in the workplace and this and that. And so this is changing right now.
Mm.
And so in this movement toward total inclusion for everyone, this would ultimately get into men having sensitivity that is valued as opposed to that is criticized. So if we think of the space that we're heading toward, which is ultimately a oneness space, if we could define this through the idea of what unconditional love actually does for people, which is it means that no matter what has happened, you are loved. No matter what hasn't happened, you are loved. That would be unconditional love. And we're used to conditional love. In conditional love, we contort ourselves and constrict ourselves.
Mm.
And so we see that happening repeatedly with anything with gender.
Mm.
So what value in our culture right now do kind and conscious men have? You know? That's a question.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to some kind and conscious men. So
yeah.
We have value.
We
now
have
you're
immense
saying,
value.
But you're saying it's not on as much of the TV and it's not as much as the news.
It is not so prevalent.
Yeah.
And so this is coupled with, in our current culture, especially in America, hope and wisdom are not valued so much, which are the two things that are necessity right now for the change that we're heading toward. So if we could see, coming back to the premise that we're being asked to use all of ourselves, for women, that would be the full scope of femininity, but also acknowledging the divine masculine aspects that they have.
And what is that? What is that for women?
What is that for women?
Yeah, the masculine
side. The masculine side would be recognizing the space where it's safe to include everyone.
Mm.
That we don't dilute in the bigness of humanity.
And being confident too?
Yes, being confident in with that. Just so once again, the divine masculine being confidence that's inclusive and encouraging.
Okay. So confident, inclusive, and encouraging is the new model for masculinity going forward, you're saying?
Yeah, because it's the opposite of insecure.
Where one needs to dominate. That's where you're saying the power over.
Okay, the power over is shut up, I know more than you.
Mm, okay.
Or shut up, sweetheart, I'll take care of it. Mm. And we see the evolution of the divine, of the old masculine, which is that's like the John Wayne model, like I'll take care of it, you shut up, you know? And the response to that, like in the 60s and 70s, was the emasculated man, which nobody liked. Of like, oh, you want to watch that show again, honey? Sure, that sounds great. Nobody wants that paradigm. So we think of now what it is.
There were a lot of TV shows like that.
There were a lot of TV shows like that.
Emasculated man.
Emasculated man.
Yeah.
Of what is it like for people to hold their full space and to use all of themselves, which would include their creativity and the power of expression, where no one is muted. Where no one is forced to conform into a certain box of expectation. That's a strong space. So, and what that would require of us is a space of acceptance, especially self-acceptance, of recognizing what do you actually value? What are you here to contribute? And this gets big picture for a moment there, which is what are we doing here? Why are we alive? Which is to learn, to evolve, but also mainly to share our gifts. And we all have very specific and individual gifts to add to the whole.
Hmm.
And if we recognize that—
Most people don't even know what their gift is, right?
Perhaps not, but this is part of the anxiety of this time, which is a sense of lack of fulfillment.
Right.
You know, and so the desire of right now could be defined as what is it like for everyone to be seen and heard, for everyone to be acknowledged, which are the things that relax us instantaneously. When we just like, boom, focus on someone. It's like, I see who you are. I hear what you're having to say and such. And so that's the Me Too movement, which is this necessary and essential kind of scream of acknowledgement, like this is wrong.
Mm.
And that has been seen and heard. And so, but on an individual level, we all require that. But when that need is met, it's then seeing like what wants to emerge out of that, which can be a space mainly of expression. Mostly creative expression, but also speaking from the heart of like what is actually happening for us. And so seeing this in terms of the topic of how do we balance divine feminine, divine masculine energy, it comes to a space of that integration of recognizing what is it like for men to hold a space of being nurturing, but also hold like creating a home, creating a space to for others to be shared with.
So you know, a couple things have come to mind while you're sharing this. One of them is big boys don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never let them see you sweat or all of those kinds of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And never back down and all those things that are traditional masculine and business and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing I'm thinking of is that we've been taught about how women are different than men, war of the sexes. So there's this war going on between it, from the masculine perspective, us and them. And now it feels like you're asking us to bring the war inside. but you're saying that we all have this inside.
We are all dynamic beings. We all have this incredible internal life. And I look at who are the people we really admire? And they're typically artists. And why is artists are happy? Because they express themselves. David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and such. Master Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep. People are just master artists who have this sense of fullness. These are very complete people, and it's because they express themselves. And so it's understand what you just said, but it's not so much about a battle or a war. It's about the release of tension, and that comes through acknowledgement of who we are, and what we actually. Want to do, who we want to be, what we want to embody or share, be that as a representation, as an expression, or as an internal gift, to see like what is actually here for us to share, what is here for us to express. And then when that is addressed, then there's a space of greater fluidity for us. What that might look like is, let's say, take a David Bowie. Why he resonated so much is he basically spoke to the misfits, and we all feel like misfits, you know. And his flamboyance created this space of safety. For us, like because he went so far out at different times that it's like, oh, well, I can go like this far. I could express myself this much.
So he was rewarded for using, you know, the analogy of a stereo came to me where, you know, the old stereos where you had just treble and bass, right? And we have both of these energies, except we, you know, when we're very young, don't use that one. So people are running around using either all bass or all treble rather than bringing those into balance. So it's just like what you're talking about is bringing that back into balance.
Yeah.
See, now I'm all about the bass. About the bass. All right, sorry, go on. No trouble.
Yeah, my nephew, I was about to talk about. So I have a 12-year-old nephew, and I find he's a very sensitive kid. He's a very creative kid and all that. And I find at moments me trying to toughen him up. You know, and it's not so much about the space of like, don't cry and this and that, but it's like, basically, dude, here's how the world works. You know, you got to learn how to do this. Yeah, and it's not so much even political. It's just like, you know, like here's a transactional thing. Like here's how you say thank you to a stranger. And here's how you buy a candy bar. There's like and just basically learning things so it moves into a space of him feeling empowered and such. But I had an instance, it happened last week, of I was going to the gym in the morning and it was going to school time and there was a kid who had crashed his bike and was crying on the side of the road. And so I pulled over and he was trying so hard not to cry. And it was like, it's okay, buddy. I was just using really neutral language. And it's like, it's okay, buddy. You can cry if you want to. But like, totally didn't cry. And he's just shutting down. So like, oh, so we just try to talk
to him. Which is hard on the body.
I know.
And it doesn't help.
I know. But it's like, so I gave the kid permission to cry. I didn't want to cry. So like, okay, what am I going to do here? Let's talk about nothing. You know? So his dad, basically we called his parents. His dad showed up and he just burst into tears because he felt safe. But just recognizing like, that's kind of screwed up. You know? But I totally get it. So it's this space. You have a son, yes? Like, how do we do this? How do we create this space where we don't shut boys down? You know? Do you have a thought about that, Mark? Or
I have a think about it every day. And I've gotten better at it as I've gotten older. But, you know, there's times I look back and review what I, you know, could or could have done, you know, differently in different events.
Yeah.
And how we not shut little girls down either.
Who cookie cutter them. So this is what's great is that these things seem to be on people's minds of recognizing, you know, we're in this time of great transition on the planet where a lot of things that are ugly are on the surface. And it's like, okay, how did we get there and how do we fix it? You know, and that conversation then lands once again on, so what is it like for people to be balanced? I understand the gist of what you're saying of like, does that make us homogenized? Does that make us...
Actually, during the break, I was saying, I wonder if some people might think, oh, that we're all going to be the same. We'll all be just these drones walking around masculine and feminine, you know?
I think that this is... Talk about angel downloads. So something they've said about this is, in fear, we are ordinary. In love, we are extraordinary.
Oh, wow.
The more we enter a space of love, the more unique we are. Because if we think about, you know, the fear so prevalent right now that people essentially can't think.
They shut down.
They are shut down and getting into just reacting. And there's a different space. So in addition to masculine and feminine, we have aspects of cells, which is mainly America's a very adolescent country. And so what's it like for us to be in our powerful adult self? And that would be measured with or equal to a divine masculine self and a divine feminine self. So we have those three things happening at once, powerful and integrated, divine masculine, divine feminine, and your adult self leading the way. And that gets us into a space where we can not only respond to life rather than react, but also to intend, which would be the space where we basically influence our atmosphere. We influence our day through intention, through prayer, through guidance and such. Kimberly is...
Well, I'm pointing to our guest, to that lady. Musical guest, Kimberly, because she actually said something similar when we were talking earlier. And so And I wanted to just let her know that, yeah, we're all on the same page.
We're all on the same page of that. It was just basically tipping the scale. So this comes back to fundamentally, like, what do you want to have happen?
Mm.
And if we ask someone that, they're going to answer sincerely. They're not going to give you a, like, well, you know, it's not going to be equivocated. It's not going to be a negotiated answer, like, I want peace and love. Mm. And it's recognizing everyone wants those dynamics. So what's the trouble? It's where we've gotten stuck into a space of, like, this box.
Mm.
You know, of expectation and clarity. And that box contains a limitation, has a ceiling on it. So what do we do then if you feel stuck and you feel screwed?
Yes. When we come back.
Yes.
What do you do if you feel stuck? And the other thing he said,
okay.
When we come back with Mark Mazzajourian, we're also going to be joined by our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, for our Ask Dorothy segment. And later on, live music here in the studio with Kimberly Stewart. All on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter, at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and Mark. Mark Leisure and Mark Mazzajourian having a great conversation. We're going to be going back to balancing the masculine and feminine in you in just a moment. But before we do that, I wanted to share that over the past 10 years, you've heard us interview some fascinating guests and introducing so many great musicians. During that time, many of you have let us know how much you have appreciated what we do, and some of you have shared with us how the show has impacted your lives. Happily, some of you have also asked how you could help support the show, and we've never asked for anything. But now we are set up to do some very exciting things, and we are ready to accept your support. For the past several months, we have been, well, it's more like years, we have been developing a new Life Changes show. We call it Life Changes Live. This new format is truly a show like you've never felt before. It's a mixed reality show. Mixed reality combines all the elements of our radio show, but the new show introduces new segments and will be filmed in front of a live studio audience. But not just that. One of the best parts is that the show will be shot in a 360 immersive virtual reality dome with visuals and soundscapes like you've never experienced before, and will be streamed in virtual reality all over the world. Life Changes Live resurrects classic variety talk show formats like The Johnny Carson Show, but with technology and a futuristic twist that has never been possible until now. We invite you to be part of something truly groundbreaking on many levels, and we are asking for your support in making Life Changes Live a reality by going to our website at lifechangesshow.com and clicking on our Patreon link and becoming a patron. Co-create this show with us, break ground with us, and be part of something new, fun, and life-changing. As a thank you, we have created some exclusive rewards for our listeners who become our patrons. Become a patron at the Patreon link at lifechangesshow.com. And as always, thank you for changing for the better with us. And I'm smiling when I say that because, gosh, so much has changed. And so much has changed thanks to this conversation. And for those of you who want to learn more about Mark, you can go to markmezadurian.com. Not only can you learn more, but he actually does workshops. He does one-on-ones. And you can go into in-depth, not only in this conversation, but in so many others, actually, and even learn how to communicate with the angels yourself. Mark Mezadurian, that's spelled Mark, M-A-R-K, M-E-Z-A-D-O-U-R-A-N.com.
I-A-N.
Did I miss the I-A-N?
I-A-N. The Armenian part,
I
yes.
Did. I made you not Armenian.
Yes.
I-A-N.com.
Thank you.
And thank you. And actually, what else can we learn? You said, actually, before you get into that, what was it? If you're feeling stuck, you said.
If you're feeling stuck, mainly, it's tipping the scales of your life with prayer and intention to basically ask, what would you like to have happen? What would you like to have happen during this day? And calling in angels very simply, thank you, angels, for this wonderful day. Thank you for all my interactions being filled with love. Thank you for the clarity and the peace that's here for me right now. Thank you for my speaking words of grace and peace throughout this day. And thank you for any guidance you have for me right now. That gets you into conversation. And you're putting forward what intention. What I notice in that, then, you're basically putting an intention out for your day. When stuff happens, then you have a context to respond to it rather than react. Without prayer, and for me, if I'm feeling great, I tend not to pray, which is a mistake. Mm. You know, like, oh, I got it. I'm good. Mm. You know, like, you know, it's ridiculous.
I can do this on my own.
Exactly. That's good. You guys take the day off. You know, but then most of our lives right now are spent reacting, which is not thinking. Mm. It's like, this sucks, you know, you suck, rather than a response. And then furthermore, an intention. What do you want to have happen? And so we have this idea that someone else is in charge. As such, that creates a lot of anger for us and resentment. Like, well, if I don't have a say, I might as well just do this. Might as well just hate these people. Mm. Why change? You know. So it's getting this space of co-creation, which is we are all connected. We're all part of God. We're all one.
We're all co-creators.
And the thing I think is helpful to basically look at with that is when we recognize that we're all part of one thing, we're all part of oneness, how quickly do we solve violence? How quickly does crime go away? How quickly do we feed people and take care of the planet? Mm. Probably pretty rapidly, you know, because why would you commit a crime at someone who you are, you know? So that's kind of like the whole vision and such. But that's where we're heading, and we're individual in that. We don't dilute.
Really quickly, what are some of the other topics you cover in your workshops?
In the workshops, past lives, mediumship, mainly it involves with intuition. Mm. And if we think of intuition as a muscle that strengthens with use rather than some woo-woo thing.
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned intuition. As we close out this time together, you said something that spirituality is this and intuition is that. And I really liked what you said about
basically,
that.
Basically, spirituality makes the world bigger. Intuition puts that bigness into action.
Nice. Yeah. I've never heard that before.
It's the idea of what intuition actually does, because in the act of asking for it, thank you, Archangel Ariel, for the perfect guidance for me right now, in receiving that, which is going to be one thing, that it's going to make you feel big. Mm-hmm. And in that bigness, you are changed. Mm-hmm. And that then influences your environment. So you're less likely to be reactive. You're more like, okay, I'm in flow. Mm. What else is possible? What do I want to do? This is where we, once again, admire artists because they do that very clearly.
Thank you for flowing with us, Mark Mezadurian, I-A-N.
Yes.
.com. What a pleasure, and what a great conversation. I truly enjoyed that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your good questions.
Mark Mezadurian. And with that, our Ask Dorothy segment. Mark?
Dear Dorothy, my name is Josh, and I'm a life coach in Calabasas. I have a client who I've been coaching for a couple of years now, and he comes in ranting and raving about the people he works with and has worked with for about 3 years. The people he works for don't pay him all he is owed, and this has gone on for a long period of time, and he keeps saying he wants to quit because he hates his job but feels he can't quit because this is the only source of income he has. I am so over this story and have done my best to help him. He is very depressed and appears to be getting worse rather than better. I have begun to dread our sessions. What can I do to help him?
Josh, the very best thing you can do for your client and for yourself is to refuse to continue to listen to the same story over and over again. When we allow ourselves or others to dwell on negative thoughts and tell them to ourselves or others over and over again, we are simply assisting us or them in not being able to overcome our stories. We are constantly co-creating our realities, and sharing negative thoughts and stories with lots of passion simply will not change the situation. I would advise your client to make a conscious effort to change his story by becoming willing to pay attention to his thoughts and begin to change them into ones that co-create a better situation for him. One of my recent clients came to me telling me how she hated her job but couldn't quit because it paid the bills. I asked her to please adopt the attitude of gratitude and to thank the universe for her present position and for having provided her with an income to take care of her needs for the last 10 years. Then I advised her to thank the universe for a new position and a job she loved and looked forward to going to each day. Hatred is an act of fear, and gratitude is an act of love. When we choose love, we choose power. My client began to do this, and with less than a month, she manifested a new career that makes her heart sing. Choosing love by choosing empowering thoughts can change our circumstances. Choosing love over fear works in wonderful ways and helps us co-create positive changes in our lives.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
I choose love. And with that, we will be right back with our guest, Kimberly Stewart, musical guest, rather, here in the studio on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and Mark Mezzadorian. And joining us in the studio is Kimberly Stewart. And Kimberly is a children's singer, songwriter, and composer. Actually, she's a mom and a children's teacher. Welcome to the show, Kimberly.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. And actually, you're, speaking of being a mom, you're not here alone.
I am not.
You're here with?
I'm here with my daughter, Tiara, and my son, Timothy.
Hi, Tiara. Hi, Timothy. They're looking at you from the other side of the window. They're so adorable.
Thank you.
Also, our teacher, how old are the kids?
I teach preschool. I have the 3 and 4-year-olds. They come as 3-year-olds, and then they turn 4.
Wow.
So we get to have lots of birthday parties. Yay.
Fun stuff. Now, you're as a mom, mm-hmm. the kids are always there. Then you go to work and the kids are there. Mm-hmm. And then you write music for kids. You're all in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. It's so natural. It's in me. So it's a natural thing to do.
This is where you shine.
Yes.
Your songs seem to put out, from all the ones that I heard, mm-hmm. I heard a bunch of them, they're all positive.
Yes, I do. I definitely believe in positivity.
Fun.
Yeah, and they're fun.
Yeah.
And they are, but also, you know, for very young children, they deal with milestones in their lives. Washing your hands or tying your own shoe, being able to clean your room. Like, I have kids in the beginning of the school year, they can barely reach the faucet. Mm-hmm. And then by mid-year, they don't need the stool anymore. They can reach it, you know. And that's exciting. Some of our kids who come in are at the end process of being potty trained. So once that pull up is gone, we have a party like, yeah, you went potty in the potty. Yay. So, you know, things like that to us that may seem,
wow.
you know, silly, but for them,
it's important.
It's important. And
wow.
So, yeah, I like writing songs that they can identify with. You know?
And then there are some teaching things like something about candy stuck to the side.
Oh, yes. So I have a song called Yucky, and it just talks about how, you know, even though it may look enticing, it may look good on the ground, and you may want to take a little bite, but before you do, I would like to say these words to you that it's yucky. Don't put that in your mouth. You know? And these are like a lot of these songs that I've composed are actually going to be on a new CD that I'm working on called Things I Learned in Preschool.
Great. Well, you know what I think is interesting? Another thing that I think is interesting about your music, I've been around a lot of parents and I've heard music in the background. And after a while, that some of that gets old. Mm-hmm. Your music is like music I would listen to, mm-hmm. which is interesting.
Yes. So, you know, in addition to writing and singing children's music, you know, I love music across the board. I love old school R&B. I love soul. I grew up in church. Mm-hmm. So I grew up singing all the gospel music and I grew up watching The Electric Company, you know, the real one before Morgan Freeman started driving Miss Daisy around, before he became God, he was on The Electric Company with Rita Moreno, and they just had, you know, amazing music. So yeah. it stayed with me. So I don't know. I like the challenge of composing something maybe jazzy or maybe soulful, but putting child-friendly lyrics to it.
Wow.
And you'd be surprised. The kids, they get this look on their face, and all of a sudden they start bopping like, you know, oh, I like this. Or like in the classroom, I'll play the Doobie Brothers. I play Billy Joel, and they love it, you know? So, you know.
this first song, I mean, is it a Doobie Brother influence?
No. I'm sorry, am I allowed to say that? I mean, they make great music. You
of
know,
course
like
you could say
minute
that.
Minute
no.
by minute. Okay.
You can say, no, you're
okay.
fine. You're
what I'm talking about is just how in the moment, sometimes all we have is a moment.
Mm.
To do something, to do an act of kindness, or to help someone, or to say something to someone. You know, I've had so many times in my life where I've seen someone, and you know, you can tell maybe they need a helping hand, or maybe I should say something, or maybe I should give them this, maybe just give them this dollar, and I keep going, and then it's like, man, that's a moment gone. You just never know.
Wow.
So, I think we, you know, we all have something in us to give, and we're all connected. And I feel like we have a responsibility to one another, you know. And every moment, you got to make every moment count, because once it's gone, you know.
Preach it. Go on. You just preach it through your music. We're gonna hear right now Kimberly Stewart performing "The Moment" live here in Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
Thank you. just pass them by? Or do you give them a reason to be alive? A word of hope to wipe the tears from their eyes, an answer to their questions why? See kids with hungry faces, a woman without shoes, a man on the corner singing the blues. Do you realize that you can touch somebody's life? Don't let the moment pass you. Don't let the moment pass you. Don't let the moment pass you by. You say, what difference can one moment make? You can do it any day and any time that you please. But think, tomorrow may not come for one, and the least you've done to them, you've done it unto him. Everything is special, don't be afraid to share. You might be entertaining angels unaware. Open up your arms and show them that you care. Don't let the moment pass you. Don't let the moment pass you. Don't let the moment pass you by. You say, what difference can somebody, help them out today. Tell them that they matter before they walk away. Don't be surprised if you see tears in their eyes. Don't let the moment pass you. Don't let the moment pass you. Don't let the moment pass you. Don't you let the moment pass you. Don't let the moment pass. Don't let the moment pass. Don't let the moment pass. Don't let the moment pass you.
Kimberly just did something to make me laugh, and she made another moment. I had a tear in my eye, and then you made me laugh.
Okay.
Don't be surprised that I have a tear in my eye, because I was thinking that's just not only beautiful, but to think of all the children that hear that or will hear that, mm-hmm. and how that's going to touch them and affect the world, and right. that's what we've been talking about. And I want to take a moment also to thank, from the bottom of mine and our hearts, Brent Hahn, who brought
yes.
you to our attention.
Yes, yes.
So thank you so much. You're not only a mom, mm-hmm. you're a single mom.
Yes.
And so part of having your kids here, you wanted to show them something. What
I did. You know, I really wanted to show them that life sometimes we don't know what's going to happen in life, and things happen, things change, and sometimes those changes are really difficult. Mm. But you know, we keep on going, we keep on moving, and you can overcome anything, and just you follow your dreams and you follow your goals. And I really wanted them to see the importance of just you have a choice. Mm. You know, you have a choice, and you can choose to let that situation kind of take over you, or you can use that to grow mm. and move forward. And if I can, I would like to share. I think my daughter it was a couple of years ago, and she came to me and she said, "Mom, you know, I really look up to you, because you know, when you and Dad got divorced, you didn't just spend your days crying all day and drinking alcohol, and you still made dinner, you still cleaned the house, and you're still doing what you love." So I said, "Okay, well, I'm glad, you know, you know." But it is important.
Wasn't
yeah,
easy.
It wasn't. No, but I mean, you know, I feel like we are. I don't think we realize really how powerful we are, mm. us as humans. You know, we have the ability to just you know, I think we are creators, and I really want my kids to understand that. So, you know, things happen, but you keep moving. Keep moving.
Well, they're paying attention. I see that. And they're even off their phones.
Yes. well, my son's phone died. But I did give him mine. But yes, So
Kimberly has a CD out. It's Giggles and Curls.
Yes.
And that has, does it have the song we just heard?
It does not.
Oh, this
it
is all new.
Not. Yes, this is new.
Oh, so exciting.
This will be on the new one. Yes.
Okay.
So the Giggles and Curls is more of an EP. It has 5 songs on it, and it's available across the all
wherever
media.
Music is sold.
Yes, iTunes, what is the other one? Amazon, everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To learn more about Kimberly, you can go to her Facebook page, mm-hmm. and that's Kimberly Stewart Music, and that's Kimberly with a Y.
Kimberly with a Y, yes.
Kimberly Stewart Music, Stewart Music. We get to hear another song.
Yes.
Now, this one has an interesting name.
Yes, Betty Spaghetti.
Uh-huh.
And this song is about a girl named Betty and her family, and they just love to eat. They just enjoy eating.
And is spaghetti one of their favorite food?
It's Betty's favorite. Every family member has their own favorite food, and you're gonna hear what it is.
We're gonna learn in just a moment. Here is Kimberly Stewart performing Betty Spaghetti live here on the Life Changes Show at Studio NoHo.
I know a girl named Betty who likes to eat spaghetti with meatballs and Parmesan cheese. And peas. They have a cousin Tony who likes to eat bologna with hot macaroni and cheese. When they all get together, they find it such a pleasure to eat as one big family. They eat roasted red tomatoes and creamy mashed potatoes, ham and eggs with rice. And when they fry their chicken, you know it's finger licking. Their dinner. Likes to toast her bagels and cover it with butter and lox. Her daddy likes his crackers, those crunchy little snackers. He likes to eat them straight from the box. When Granny makes curry, they eat it in a hurry, 'cause Granny makes it spicy and hot. When they all get together, they find it such a pleasure to eat out of the same big pot. They eat cheesy enchiladas and vegetable tostadas, hot baked apple pie, jam and jambalaya, and hop and sweet papayas. Their dinners always turn out nice. I know a girl named Betty who likes to eat spaghetti with meatballs and Parmesan cheese. Her little brother Eddie, he doesn't like spaghetti. He'd rather eat carrots and peas. They have a cousin Tony who likes to eat bologna with hot macaroni and cheese. When they all get together, they find it such a pleasure to eat as one big family.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking, that sounds good. Yeah. That sounds good. I don't know about this kid who likes carrots and peas. Do you know anybody who likes them?
Well, mixed together. You know what? You know, carrots and peas taste good to me if they're in fried rice or if they're like in a savory like meat pocket, like a pastry type deal.
Oh, I like carrots and peas. I'm just thinking about, is there a kid that does? But it's...
Jet loves carrots.
Okay. Well, there it is. All right. And Jet's here, too, today. How perfect is that? We got the whole family here. And we all like to eat, actually. Mm-hmm. Maybe we all need to eat together someday. But in the meantime, so Betty Spaghetti, is that in the Giggles and Curls?
It is not.
Oh, new stuff. This is great.
I'll be completely honest. I picked songs that are more easier for me to play.
Oh, great. Well,
that CD, my Giggles and Curls, has been circulating for a while. So, it's coming.
Well, I'm going to be honest, along with It's Coming, you know what I saw as a musical for kids?
Oh, yes. I received that. Take that.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Thank you so much, Kimberly Stewart. Actually, we're going to have another link also on our page, on our website. So if you go to lifechangesshow.com, then go to the Kimberly Stewart page. That's Kimberly with a Y.
Yes.
We'll have a couple links for where you could find her. And maybe, Kimberly, send us some links where directly to the music.
Absolutely.
So people can buy it, and then we'll yes. put it on our page, okay?
Absolutely, great.
Thank you so much. We'll look forward to seeing more of you and hearing more of your fun songs.
Thank you, and
Kimberly
likewise.
Stewart,
thank
what a
you
pleasure.
So much.
And once again, thank you, Mark Mazadourian. And with that, that is our show. Again, a big thank you here to Brent Hahn, along with introducing us to Kimberly and making us all sound so good.
Thank you, Brent.
On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone!
You have been listening to The Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com. On Facebook at The Life Changes Show and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.